Welcome everyone to our blessing for today, the last day of January, in the first month of 2016. We're looking for a very interesting year ahead. We know there will be major changes this year. There were last year. Some of them we benefited by, and some of them we scratched our head about, and some of them we cried about. There were a lot of things happening in the world, and what is happening in the world will continue to escalate as we go through the events of the coming year. A lot has been promised to us for positive change, for growth, evolution, and personal discovery. We are children of God. And so as God evolves his beautiful place of creation, which is the perfect template from which all of these events occur, it's kind of like God built a mansion, and we are in the playhouse. And sometimes we scatter our toys, sometimes we break our toys, sometimes we throw them at each other, and rarely do we organize our playhouse and put things in places where they belong. And so we have to learn to understand that the world we live in and create is an outer extension that's been given to us for creation, that lays on top of a perfect kingdom of creation. Sometimes we see that perfect kingdom, and sometimes we don't. So, in our prayers, I always find the best thing to do is just to address the fact that we are here, and we imperfectly see, we imperfectly hear, but we try, and we ask forgiveness for our shortcomings. We ask forgiveness for what we can't see and haven't done. And we work our way into a place where we can begin to see the sunrise on a greater horizon of possibility. And then we bring into our world bits and pieces of a more perfect plan that starts to bring order into our world. And that's the way I see life working. It doesn't assure that everything will instantly be perfect. It just assures that what we put into all of this chaos around us is a piece of perfect order. Now, there's a difference between perfect order and trying to make order out of chaos. And that's one of the things I want to talk to you about today. But now that I have expressed that, I want to really go back to our community and give everybody a chance, anyone who wants to have a chance, to speak up, ask for a blessing, make a comment, and we have a caller from area code 201. So you're on. Hi. Is it David?
No, this is Susan Rabinowitz. How are you, Glenda?
Hi.
My gosh. I bought the 14 CDs from you on Love Without End, and my God, what an it! I've been listening to them repeatedly because I know that, you know, repetition is absolutely necessary. I want to thank you for you're incredible. So my comments are just that I am a student and of the 12 steps, and I have been applying that for the last 40 years of my life. I took on your work as a result of getting into metaphysics from the 12 steps. I also I did everything that dovetailed with the 12 steps, which is like A Course in Miracles as well, and your work.
Mm-hmm.
Which I find, you know, doing that daily sentence in the Course in Miracles is a wonderful thing. This sentence that I was working on was fear is past and only love is real. And something you said many things in those 14 tapes, but I had this love for my brother that was unconditional and blind, and something happened that, you know, messed it up. And in one of your tapes, you said that Jesus said that intimacy, people are afraid of intimacy because they're afraid they can't forgive. And I went, oh, you know, I so resonated with that. And I was struggling with this business with my brother. So I was in a crummy place this morning, real crummy. And I started to be very critical in my head. And then it led to other stuff. And the beautiful part is because of the Course in Miracles, I stopped in my head and I said, so where does this end, Susan? So then you start seeing other things about other people and this and that. Where does it end? I said, no, your mind's just going to keep going in that direction. At that point, I was able, by blessing, to put a halt to it. I said, no. This is just your ego taking you down a path away from God. And I just want to thank everyone, you know, you, everyone, for, you know, all of this, and I wanted to share that with you guys.
Oh, thank you so much, Susan. And I think you'll see the value of what I'm going to focus on in my message today, because, you know, there is a difference between going to a place of true order or just trying to patch up what's in a state of disorder. There's a really, really big difference. And it's a big difference that we need to all understand as we get deeper into this year, especially those of us in the United States. It's an election year. And not that politics is going to really solve our problem. It's not. But the way we approach it, the integrity we have with it, and the choices we make from inside ourselves will make a great deal of difference in how we relate to external possibilities. And external possibilities will always present problems, discouragements, or crummy days, as you said it. I kind of like that word. But how we approach it from the inside out is where all the difference happens, where it all makes sense and all begins to come into a state of repair. Before I get into my message, though, I'll scan around my board, see if there's anybody else who thought about a comment, a question, something you wanted to say or ask for a blessing today. This is our community time for about 5 more minutes. And as you know, I use it to also bring in some of the teachings and to set our time up for better use when it arrives. But still, I'm here for you, and my heart is with you, and believe me, I understand what it's like to walk on this earth as a person that doesn't know where one day is leading to the next. We think we have an idea. We come up with the best of plans, and the best of plans don't seem to coordinate with our demands. I know you've been there. I've been there. It's the way it is on planet Earth. We at best can have an idea of what we want. We think we know what can fix our health or we can fix our finance. We go to a financial advisor or we go to a doctor or a counselor or whoever is appropriate to the problem. And we find that not only did we not get an answer, the problem's gotten worse. I want you to think about that while we're getting ready. I see somebody else is on the call, and it's from area code 817. Hi, you're on.
Oh, hi, Glenda. It's Linda. How are you?
Doing great. I'm always doing great when I'm doing a blessing.
Oh, that's lovely. Today's a holiday here, so I'm so excited to be on the call and able to join in and missing everybody in the group, and so I really look forward to this time. Quick question. I don't want to stay long. Some time ago, we were contributing to your next book, and I want to know whether you still need help on that. And secondly, I'm looking forward to when the blessing book is going to come out.
Well, we are still working on it. As a matter of fact, I finished the first chapter about 2 weeks ago. I'm working on the second chapter, and it's coming along beautifully. My original idea was to release it for Easter, and that entirely depends upon how much help I get on the remainder of the chapters. Just to describe to everybody what this is, it's called Blessings, the Spirit of Love. Because really, in this universe, the highest, the best, and the sweetest, and the most healing, restorative energy is the energy of love. And we don't always know what love will accomplish, but we know it will accomplish something good and take us further down our path toward discovering the real answer. Love is never a Band-Aid. It's never a patch that we put on top of a dent. Love is what takes the dent away. It is restorative. And so that's the title of the book. And the book is all about what Yeshua taught me about the Spirit of Love and its healing power and how we came to be offering these blessings on Sunday. Then we have taken 77 of my most favorite blessing call messages, and they will be the main chapters of the book. I have had volunteers to transcribe them, and we just have to organize and proof them, get them lined up, and then the first two chapters are done, and we're ready to go to press. Whether it can be ready for Easter is still hopeful, but not an absolute certainty, because I had a little bit of a health challenge over the whole Christmas and post-Christmas period. And also, writing this book had a profound influence over me. And I went through what I'm now, it started out as 22 days of transformation. Then it became 33 days of transformation, and now it's 44 days of transformation. And it's all about my relationship to the world as the world is happening outside. And I think this is a good transition into our message today, because the world I was born into was the post-World War II world of the United States, where people thought that they had just finished the war that would end all wars. Even though we had a nuclear weapon, it would be turned to good ends, and all we had to do was prevent the hostile use of it. But everyone was extremely optimistic. The world I lived in was like a Norman Rockwell calendar. People were good to each other. People took care of each other. And it wasn't extremely different from the 19th century, except that we had modern conveniences. And now all of you know how much the world changed in the rest of the 20th century. I lived through all of that. And for the most part, those changes were external changes that just required adaptation and tolerance, acceptance, and a large measure of compassion at certain times. But since 9/11, we have been gradually moving into a world that I would say looks a little more like the tribulations of the end times. These are times that challenge the souls of men and women, that bring us closer to the choice of, do we walk in the light or do we walk in darkness? Do we embrace love, or do we run and hide out of fear? We're having some fundamental choices that are affecting our inside core integrity right now. And it's not so much that the external world is really changing any more than it did 20 years ago. It's that the internal world is now being challenged deeply, greatly, profoundly. And in the days I have served Yeshua, Jesus, there has been a slow progression of moving through my ministry a great deal like he moved through his. At first, there was just the excitement of him coming to people and experiencing his presence and miracles and healing and joy. Then it progressed more and more into education and learning and realization and becoming all that we could be, expecting that in becoming all that we could be, we would change the outer world. And in many ways we have. I think there's no way of measuring how much change we have brought into the world. But at the same time, I think that a great deal of the changes we have all brought into the outer world have been through first bringing hope and love and charity, courage, enlightenment, and a willingness to abide in whatever conditions prevail, trusting in God and in our holy connection with God, finding the courage within ourselves to be who we are. Now that seems to be increasing as we move into the next events of this world. And I see it being a critical opportunity for not just small advancements as a person, but enormous, enormous advancements as a person. And let me get back to what I was mentioning earlier in relation to our first caller. The difference between, well, let me back up even before that and introduce the subject. The subject is all about putting more order into your life. More order, peace, sanity, and well-being into the world. I think we all want more of that. We all want more of that in our life. And we all want the greater healing benefits that come from doing that. Now, there are two approaches to putting order into our life and in the world. One is we see that there are weeds in the yard, and we just go out and mow the yard so we can't see the weeds. And it all looks good until the grass goes out again and the weeds are still there. Then there's such a thing as, well, getting herbicides and you kill some of the weeds, but you don't get them all. You're just patching up a problem. You really, really don't get to the heart of the problem. They'll come back. And then there's this answer that I was given by an agricultural person years and years ago when I owned a vineyard. And I was struggling with the control of grass burrs. And he said, Glenda, you'll never get rid of the grass burrs by just focusing on the grass burrs and trying to kill them or dig them out. He said, what you do is you fertilize the grass and you water it so that the grass weeds out the grass burrs. It overtakes them. He said the interesting thing about the way God built weeds is he built weeds to survive only in the harshest of conditions without water and without competition. So all you need to do is really just water the grass. And I said, well, won't I be watering the weeds? And he said, no, the weeds don't care. They don't need water. They don't thrive on water. And I said, but if I fertilize, won't they get fertilized too? And he said, no, they weren't created to utilize fertilizer. Okay, so let's consider the great fertilizers of life and the great water of life. Okay? Now, the great fertilizer of life is love. The great water of life is that beautiful aspect of love which we feel in the one spirit, and it's called compassion. Even when we can't agree with what's going on in the world, certain actions that are just horrible and abominable, we can still feel compassion. We can feel compassion for the victims, and we can feel compassion that some soul has so darkened its light that it could actually engage in such destructive activity. So the water of life is compassion. And another aspect of compassion is forgiveness. Now, I want to say, as we think about forgiveness is not the same thing as acceptance. It doesn't mean you accept an idea. It doesn't mean you approve of an action. Forgiveness means that you're getting that action out of the way so that it does not impede your ability to embrace love and goodwill, good actions, and to nourish your life with the very best that you can. I know there have been times in your life when you tried to put a Band-Aid on something. Let's just say a Band-Aid on your bank account. You couldn't pay the bills, so you paid them with a credit card. Well, hello. You've just made a new bill. That didn't work, did it? You need to put order in that can resolve the disorder. The first thing is to take a look at your spending. Take a look at your earnings. And then make a call to your creditors. Tell them the condition you're in. Form a plan where you can get out of that condition. Now that's placing order into chaos. Not trying to find some Band-Aid you can put on top of chaos. See, chaos is when everything is getting out of control. It could be your finances. It could be a relationship. It could be your job. It could be a work of art. It could be anything else you're creating. I know, for heaven's sake, all the years I've spent as an artist, I actually could be so distracted at times in painting that my painting will just become what it wants to become, and I just trust that it will do its own thing, and then all of a sudden I look at it and I don't recognize this as a work of art that I would have created. Actually, it's kind of horrible. I don't like anything about it. And I could actually look at it and say, okay, I'll just make the sky bluer and I'll like that. Or I could add a tree and I'll like that. Or I'll rub out this thing I did, and then I won't be looking at it, and then I'll put a fountain on top of it, or I'll put a bird in a tree. In other words, I'm trying to fix the problem from the inside out, from the outside in, okay? But the real answer is to just acknowledge that everything got out of hand, and then I bless it and say, please, please forgive me that I abandoned you and I wasn't here. I wasn't able to be responsible for this work that could have been a great work of art. And I'm sorry, but I'm going to go back to when the last time I felt really, really in love with this painting, in charge of what I was doing, in a state of responsibility. And I look at it. I look at it from the inside out. And I remember the way it was when it was the way I wanted it to be. After I discover that, I look at the painting, and then I've got one of two choices. I can either say, well, it's gone too far south. There's no repair here, and I just strip it off the stretchers and throw it away. That's one choice. And I made that choice a lot of times when I was a young artist. It was really the best choice to make. But now that I'm a seasoned artist, I never get too far beyond my responsibility until I get my wake-up call. And when I get my wake-up call, usually I can go back and re-envision exactly the way I wanted it to be. And that's all it takes. Then all the mistakes I made just stand out like a sore thumb. They're there, and I can see them all. I can acknowledge them and say, I'm sorry that I let this happen, but you really don't belong in this picture. Take them out one by one until I've put back the picture I wanted to see there. I can do that in most of my relationships right now. I had some last week I had to deal with that way. I had surgery on my eye last Monday, and it unfortunately coincided with my assistant Christy getting the flu. And the last thing I wanted to have around me was someone with the flu while I was recovering from surgery. So we virtually had to shut down our operations for a week or either just let it go on automatic. The parts that went on automatic just did great. And other people that couldn't process their orders, they got confused and they wrote me and said, can you help me? I don't know how to do this. I don't know what's going on. I'm all lost. And, of course, I couldn't even look at a computer screen because of my eye. But last night I could. And so I wrote everybody a deep apology letter and explained to them what happened and that I was so very, very sorry and that this is not the way we treat our people, that we love our customers and we do our best to take care of them. Everybody understood. Everybody. They accepted my request, my apology and request for forgiveness. And you see, sometimes it's just a matter of going back to when things were perfect and the way they should be. And then people understand that you really, really need, you really mean to be there in the best way you can. Now, some people just try to patch up what's out there, and it doesn't work. It never works. You always have to go back to honesty. You always have to go back to sincerity. You have to go back to where you were when things were perfect. Now, I say that as a lead up to this blessing, because whether you know it or not, you are perfect, even though not everything in your life has been expressed in a perfect way or unfolded in a perfect way. Inside you, in your heart, there's perfection. You're connected with God in a perfect way. And what we offer in the Christ blessing is that love of God, that graciousness of Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit to move through you and to activate that perfection that's within you so that the order that's applied to your life comes from the perfect place Not a Band-Aid. Not prescription drugs. Not a patch on your flat tire. But the perfection within. Sometimes we have to give it a little opportunity to work its way back up through the layers of mistakes or broken parts and pieces that have been laid on top of it. And that's why I ask you every time after the blessing to go and relax, rest for at least 7 minutes, and don't think. The important thing to why you don't think is because invariably you'll think about the problems. You'll think about all the patches. You'll think about what went wrong. We don't want you to think about that. We want you to be in a blank state of mind where that perfection inside you is working its way through your body, heart, soul, and being. Okay? Now, with that, I would like to call forth our blessing givers to join me to offer this blessing to everyone on this call and to the whole world. We also join with the Troubadours of Peace, led by James Twyman, who's a very anointed soul for offering blessings to the world, who is in Syria this weekend and Monday, in the heart of the most troubled part of the country, offering blessings for peace to the world. And we join him and we give him strength. And I also would like to call attention to the fact that we are offering our third webinar, our third semester webinar for the teachings of Yeshua in Love Without End. As you study these, as you take them into your life, you will be activating that perfect template inside you, and that's the miracle that happens. So I really encourage you to go to our website or just respond to our email. Our first lesson starts next Sunday, and it's a great way to follow up on your blessing. But with these announcements now moved out of the way, let us just allow our attention to fall into our heart. I'm going to say my prayer to Jesus, Yeshua. And when I'm finished, we will begin conducting the energy of his blessing. During that time, you will say your prayer, your perfect prayer for you, and allow it to include acknowledgments of your life the way it is, what you wish to be addressed and helped for. Let it include forgiveness for yourself and others. Let it include praise for God. And let it include, as part of your prayer, that the kingdom of heaven unfold in you and through you, that your light may shine in the world. Now let us begin. Dear beloved Son of God, Lord of life, we thank you for being with us this day and taking us into your heart and being with us in our heart, that we may have the insight, the light, the courage, the grace, and the love to accept that we actually were created in perfection, despite all the problems that have been laid on top of it. We ask that you would come to us in our perfection and allow us to feel it once more as your forgiving power leads us more closely into the grace of God and the perfection of our kingdom within, eventually to bring about the kingdom of life and light and love on earth. Amen. Blessing givers, let us begin. Your blessing is now complete. I ask that you go and rest, assimilate, and take the love of God, the blessings of Christ, into your body, heart, soul, and being. Allow it to do its work in a way that it knows how best to do. Much love from me. And much love to you for the coming week. I look forward to being with you again as soon as possible. Bye-bye for now.